There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
It's Friday. You know what that means. Crisp October day, class out of session. It's NFL Friday. Back for Week 7, Joe Henry here with Henry Wolf, Ryan Ariema, Ethan Wax in the back on production. Fellas, before we talk ball, it's midterm season, homecoming weekend on the Hill. What's the mood as we enter the studio today?
Yeah, I got to leave my class early to be here.
Look at you.
So that's great. And just before we're in the studio, I just submitted my last essay.
That's huge.
So I'm feeling great today. I'm ready to talk football. Unfortunately, I won't be around for homecoming, which is a little sad, but I still will be celebrating elsewhere in the world.
Elsewhere in the world? Okay, yeah. Where in the world?
I'm just going to PA for a little family event.
Look at that. Yeah. Ryan?
Had a couple midterms this week. You know, a little iffy on them. It's okay, though.
If your midterm performance was an NFL team to date, what would it be?
I don't know. Who's like 3-2 right now? 3-3.
Detroit. The Rams.
Yeah, those are both playoff teams, though.
Green Bay.
Kansas City.
I'm feeling like Kansas City. I did, started off okay.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely on the rise, though.
Yeah, I'm going up. Don't worry about it. Academic comeback.
Yeah. Big win against the Lions. Oh, I don't know, man. I used to be like so serious about school, and I still am, but now that I'm like really into this stuff, I every time I'm in class, I'm like, I just want to like, I don't really want to focus in class right now. But I'm pulling it together. I'm an econ major, so I've pretty much finished my curriculum already. So that's where I have a lot of my exams. So now I'm just taking mostly journalism stuff. So it's a lot of writing. So I don't really have to do a lot of like studying for exams, which is a big help, because if I did, I'd be like, I'd be like the Titans right now. So I'm feeling pretty lucky. We just had a really fun game last night for Thursday Night Football. Bengals find a way to win it. Joe Flacco. It's an age-old rivalry, Flacco versus the Steelers, but taking a new form with him on the Bengals. A game rife with storylines, a crazy finish, some heady plays down the stretch from Flacco, from T. Higgins. I had it on in the background last night. I was prepping for a volleyball broadcast, and I'm like my dad. I always need to have something in the background, so I just had it on. I'm a Patriots fan, but I usually like the Bengals. I like Joe Burrow. But obviously, Joe Burrow is deceased for the year, so we had to settle for Joe Flacco, but Jamar Chase is still...
I don't think it's settling for Joe Flacco.
No, you can't settle?
Listen, when I'm a Ravens fan, always got to say it when I'm on one of these podcasts, and Joe Flacco was the cornerstone of our team, won the Super Bowl in Louisiana, and of course he's going to go out there and beat the Steelers.
It was a really fun game, maybe surprisingly, because the Steelers have had a good start, but the Steelers are obviously destined to be 9-8, so they had to lose at some point again and keep their record at bay, and they did in this game. I was looking, as I said, I have Jamar Chase on my fantasy teams. I went on Sleeper after the game because I had it in the background. I wasn't fully paying attention. I didn't know like the magnitude of what he was doing, but I just see he's like the front page headline on Sleeper, and it's like 16 for 23, 161, and a touchdown. It's like 16 for, was he playing quarterback? 16 for 23. That's the third most targets that a receiver has gotten in an NFL game since 1978. And I believe it's the most in Bengals franchise history, most catches in Bengals franchise history. I feel like it's what we've been yelling at the Bengals to do all season long when Chase had that slow start. Just throw him the ball.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Browning, you really can't do wrong if you just throw it to Chase every time. And we saw the result of that with Flacco, and I'm sure, Henry, you were happy to see
that.
And
I had it in the background as well. And, like, it looked like Joe Flacco throwing to Jacoby Jones again. It was beautiful. But Ja'Marr Chase was averaging 10.1 yards a reception, and we haven't seen that out of any Bengals receiver this year, even with Joe Burrow behind the line. So maybe, like, Joe Flacco was good for the Bengals. Like, they needed this. It was a culture shift, something.
Sometimes these teams just need some kind of shakeup. I wasn't like a, I'm not going to lie and say like, oh yeah, I knew Browning was going to be bad when he stepped in. I was like, oh, he'll be fine. Like, again, just throw to your, like, you have great weapons, just throw to them. But sometimes you need like someone to bring in, like even when the Rams brought in Baker, right? He was struggling at the time. No one thought that he was going to have the resurgence that he did. But just having that kind of shakeup when your main guy is down, something different, but also a guy with experience, a guy you know who can sling it, like Flacco, even if he's not fleet-footed at this point in his career, someone you know can just, he's a heady player, you know he's going to make the right plays, especially down the stretch. And that, Ryan, that game-winning drive that they had with T. Higgins making that sliding play, it really capped off what was probably the most impressive game of the season for Cincy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different offense than from what we've seen with Jake Browning, at least. And I will say about you saying Joe Flacco is not fleet-footed, there was a play, I believe, in the third quarter, read option with Joe Flacco. No one saw it coming. Unk still got it. He ran for about 9 yards. I don't think he got the first down, but hey, not bad for a 41-year-old.
And even the commentators out there, like, slipped up and said, Burrow looks great. I'm sorry, Flacco looks great. Like, he did look amazing last night, back in his prime.
And even Rodgers, like, I'm a Rodgers hater.
Same.
But I have to give it to him. Like, I was shocked at some of the plays he was making with his feet. He was escaping the pocket a lot. He was still accurate downfield after those escapes. There was a play, the touchdown that gave him the lead in the fourth when he went to Freiermuth 68 yards. Mm-hmm. He, like, evaded a sack, and then he was waiting to his left, and then he threw it 50 yards downfield. And it was a dangerous ball. Like, it probably should have got picked off. But it ended up being, at the time, what we thought was a game-winning touchdown. I haven't been super locked into the Steelers this year, but it seems like he's having, I don't know if you could say a resurgent year, because it wasn't like he was bad with the Jets last year, but obviously the team wasn't doing a lot of winning. But I was expecting him to kind of start having the drastic fallout, and that's not been the case, and maybe that's because Pittsburgh has more weapons this year.
Yeah, you guys are Rodgers haters. I'm a Rodgers hater outside of football. He's never been a threat to the Ravens, so therefore I can't hate him. But this dude is a 2-time Super Bowl champion, 4-time MVP, and wasn't it 2021 as well? He won the MVP.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's got it. Like, people are like, oh, he's crazy. But I wish I could get up and, like, his play action, that read is unbelievable. Of course people are going to bait for that. I'd bait for it. I wish I could do it like him. He's one of the best QBs I've ever seen play. Best QB, probably top 10 QBs to ever play in the NFL.
Definitely.
He's a tool for Mike Tomlin ever since Ben Roethlisberger has been gone. The Steelers have just been cycling through QBs, and maybe they have Aaron for this season to get to 9-8 and potentially get into the playoffs again somehow if that happens.
I mean, we'll talk about the AFC's kind of bad right now.
Yeah.
Everything's kind of bad right now. The Steelers don't advance to 5-1 on the loss, 33-31 in favor of the Bengals. They fall to 4-2. Ryan, the last remaining one-loss teams are Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and Indianapolis. I can't remember a season in which there felt like there was no dominant team. It was always the Patriots. It was always the Chiefs, the Manning Broncos, Rodgers with Green Bay, the Legion of Boom. It feels like every year you can confidently say who the best teams are. Like, if you had 6 picks to choose who the 4 were going to be in the championship games, like, you'd get it with those 6 picks easily. I have no idea what's going on this year. I feel like I've never seen parity like this. We'll take a look at some power rankings in a second, but I want to ask you, and I know this is like kind of a ridiculous question to ask on a podcast, because it's like kindergarten level, but I genuinely can't figure this out. I've been stumped on it. Who is the best team in the NFL right now?
Well, quite frankly, you got to look at it this way. The NFL is a coaching sport more than any other sport, and more than any time it has been in the past. And you look at teams with good records, teams that are high in the power rankings, they have good coaches. They have long-tenured coaches. The Bucks, even though they haven't exactly had their current head coach for too long, he's still been in high coaching positions for a while, and he's won in those positions. The Rams, Sean McVay, even though he's still, you know, you still think of him as young, he's been coaching for close to a decade now. The Rams have been doing great. They're consistent. Packers, same thing with Matt LaFleur. All these teams, they have experienced coaches, they have offensive-minded coaches, and they have flexible coaches. Defense has been changing a lot in the NFL. Teams are playing more two-high cover now, or two-high shell, rather, and they're disguising their defenses a lot more. So these offensive coaches that have experience, they can adapt. And I think it's creating a lot more parity because you don't need all these Pro Bowlers and all these perennial All-Pro. I mean, we're seeing All-Pros get cut now. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he got released. Guy was a Pro Bowler. So you don't need a ton of talent. Obviously, you do need guys who can play in your system. You just need good coaching, really.
Okay, so who's the best team in the league?
The Bucs.
You think it's the Buccaneers?
I think it's the Buccaneers.
What do you think, Henry?
I like to root for the Colts right now.
That's insane. There's no way you actually think, though, that they're the number one team.
I think they could beat the Bucs. That's why I think they're
that's,
the number
I think
team.
I think anyone could beat anyone right now except, like, the Jets. But, and maybe the Titans. And anyways, there's no way you think that they're actually the number one. Like, if you had to pick a Super Bowl winner today, you're not picking the Colts.
Yeah. Right now, I
you
am.
Are.
And it's because of how shaken up everything is. I love stats in all sports, and that's the baseball in me talking. But Daniel Jones has 1,500 passing yards this season. Jonathan Taylor has 600 yards rushing this season. They are the number one in points for and the fourth in points against, which of course, it's like an inverse opposite stat. It's really good to be fourth in points against, which means their defense is working. So not only is Daniel Jones leading his offense and putting up some of the most points we've seen every week this year, their defense is stopping the teams. And, of course, there's something to say about schedule strength. They're not in a very tough division with the Jags right now or the Titans. But I think they can compete. I love Daniel Jones.
I love seeing him play.
Yeah, it was the Giants' atmosphere that got him down when there wasn't the Jackson Dart, Cam Scadabo kind of atmosphere that we have now there. And he's flourishing in Indianapolis.
I mean, I agree that he is. I just don't. And I would like to see the Colts be good. One of my best friends is a Colts fan, and he's been through plenty enough, and I've bagged on him a million times about how bad his team is. And it, as you said about the defense, like, they have so much talent on that defense, and it feels like over the past half decade, it's just never come together. My question is, and yes, they have an easy division. They should be able to hang on and win the division. Who knows what happened to the Texans over the past 2 years. The Jaguars are having an impressive year for sure, but I don't see them sustaining their success very much. I can't say that the Colts are the best team in the league, but I don't know who I can say is. I would have told you the Lions, but then obviously the Chiefs got one back on them. I would never tell you the Chiefs. It's just against
just
my
can't say
it's against
Chiefs.
My religion, yeah. But my heart leans Buffalo, which is stupid because I root for an AFC East rival, but obviously Buffalo just lost twice in a row.
Twice in a row, yeah.
But I still just feel confident in Josh Allen. But that's where, like Brian, you say it's a coaching league.
Outside of Josh Allen, what really is there?
You look at a lot of these top teams; their quarterbacks are not guys who we've previously thought of as superstars. Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford, Jordan Love—all great quarterbacks. But not these, like, not that upper echelon, Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow, like, not quite on that level, but they've been that this year. And perhaps, to your point, that's the recipe of coaching, allowing these quarterbacks to flourish where the traditional superstars like Allen and Mahomes haven't had as much success, or Jackson when he was healthy.
I is arguable to say that Baker Mayfield is in that company of
greats. At this point, I think that's not unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable, and it doesn't show in the numbers he has because of the teams he's been on, but he's been that guy ever since Oklahoma, and he was that guy on the Browns, and he got stuck in, what was it, Carolina and another team?
Los Angeles briefly.
But now he's, again, like Daniel Jones, he's on a team where he has weapons to use, and he can be himself. meaning he's got aura and he's got an arm. He's just got aura. Yeah.
It is crazy what the Bucks are doing with the number of weapons they have, even with the injuries to the receiving core. It's like next man up, just as good as the next one. Mm-hmm. And part of that's Baker elevating them, but I think that's also at each of Baker's previous stops. Like in Los Angeles, obviously you had Kupp at the time. Carolina, there really wasn't any weapons there. Cleveland, not exactly. This is the first time that he's had not just a weapon, but an actual full crew of weapons and a rushing attack that's very good as well, even with Bucky Irving out right now. Rashad White is still like one of the best backup backs in the league. Let's take a look at some power rankings, because, as I said, the parity in the league right now is at a crazy place. It's never been here before, at least in my lifetime, at least that I can remember. Beginning of the season, we looked at Ralph Vacchiano's power rankings and gave our thoughts on him. I believe he had the Lions. No, not the Lions. He had the Eagles one, then Ravens, and then I think the Lions. Things have changed drastically. The Ravens are now ranked 23. The Eagles are now ranked 6 on his power rankings. The number one team is the Buccaneers. We'll start with this top 8. We'll say this first row. There's 4 rows here where we can break these teams into quadrants. He's got Tampa Bay, then Detroit, then Los Angeles, then Green Bay, Buffalo, Philly, Indianapolis, and San Francisco. When you look at this row, is there anything that sticks out?
Definitely the Colts. I would.
Colts too low?
Colts too low, I would say.
Too low.
I don't know. I feel like you put the Colts up against the Eagles. I like Daniel Jones. I like Jonathan Taylor over the Eagles, honestly. After what we saw from them last week on Thursday, I maybe would say if it comes down to it in the playoffs, I would maybe put them over the Bills.
You could not pay me any amount of money to pick the Colts to beat the Bills in a playoff game. Maybe I'm just slow to the chase, and everyone can laugh at me in December, January. But there's no way Josh Allen doesn't win that game.
I like watching the Bills lose 2 in a row. Is very reminiscent of teams hitting that midseason like road bump.
Same with Philly, but I think to a greater extent.
Yeah, Philly has it worse right now because everybody has more trust in Josh Allen, of course.
Yeah.
And I do too. He'll find a way to get the team back where it needs to be. And they'll be fine. But midseason road bumps can come back to bite teams. And that's not in the way where they get seeded for the playoffs. It's in the way they play in the playoffs. Because you start to remember, oh, we lost to... well, they beat the Ravens. Who they lose to last week? I didn't watch the Bills.
The Bills? Oh, the Patriots.
But yeah, lose to the Patriots. That comes back to haunt you. It's like, wow, we lost to the Patriots, and the Patriots beat this team that we're playing. It's like, can we really win this game? So it's tough to stay out of your head in any sport. So the Bills will have a tougher time now with the early season losses later down the road, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think it could hurt them. I'm less worried about them, as we said, than Philly from a culture standpoint and from a getting it back on track standpoint. But in terms of the divisional race and winning your division so that you can either get a bye or host a wild card game, which is so important, and whoever wins the AFC East is probably going to have maybe like a 1 or maybe not a 1, but like a 2 or a 3 probably. So not a bye, but hosting a wild card game. I still think, and I'm a Patriots fan, I still think the Bills should be the team favored to beat the Patriots, but New England has such an easy schedule coming up. So Buffalo really can't afford to lose more games. Right now, the Patriots are technically leading the division. The teams have the same record, 4-2. But Buffalo really can't afford to lose more games, especially against teams that they should be beating. The second row here is where things get really interesting. San Fran is ranked 8th last in that first column. That upper echelon, a weird team because they've played so well without Brock Purdy, but also now injuries really hurting them defensively with Bosa and Warner out for the season. So I don't have a lot of faith in them to sustain their success early on, even though I would like them to. I think they've been a fun story early on this season. Second row is where you get a lot of teams that I think were either ranked very highly to start the season and have had middling starts, or have really impressed this season, and people have no idea where to rank them.
Yeah, I think that goes to the Chargers right now. They're a very confusing team. Justin Herbert is that guy for the Chargers, but they don't have the defense, and they don't have the running core behind this to support them. They beat the Chiefs, week one. And actually, they're playing the Colts, the new Chiefs, this Sunday. So it'll be the Chiefs.
I think that's crazy you snuck that in there.
The Chargers will have a more proper ranking down the line, especially after they play the Colts. They play the Vikings. They'll play the Titans, so they'll get a win. Like, they're going to be above 500, but it'll be easier to put them probably a little higher, I think. Probably above the 16 mark, the halfway mark of the teams.
Okay. You think the Chargers, where do you think they stack up compared to Denver in their division?
They have a better record right now by a game, I think. Yeah. Nope, they're tied right now. They're both 4-2. Team-wise, team chemistry-wise, I think the Chargers have it. Bo Nix is still finding his way. Justin Herbert has the veteran experience. If they come head-to-head again, I think they already did. And the looking.
Maybe they believe the Chargers won when they played.
Did the Chargers win?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chargers did win. So, of course, wow, and the Denver Broncos are 11th on this list. So that's why I think the Chargers will be a little higher come down the road, and we'll see things shake out a little more evenly for the Broncos. They'll move down.
Yeah, we've got a few other teams that are in an interesting territory right now. Griffin Stevenson is not on the podcast this week. Have you guys had the pleasure of meeting Griffin?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Griffin.
He's just an insane Seahawks fan. Absolutely insane. And you have to give it to them. They've had a great year so far. And as he would be quick to tell you, JSN is maybe front runner for offensive player of the year right now. It pains me to say, not that I hate JSN at all, but it's just that it's Griffin. It's just that it's Griffin saying it. You'll have people, who cause you to think like that in your life with their respective teams, that you don't even hate a player or a team, but because someone is so adamant about them, like I have a Steelers fan friend, I will literally never root for the Steelers because he's so annoying when they win. So, like, he didn't even say anything last night, and I didn't say anything to him. I'm not that guy. But when I saw that they lost, I was like, oh, yes. Because I just know somewhere he's, you know, he can't push his propaganda. In this list, we've got, and we don't have to talk about him that long. Everyone here probably has someone or some team on their mind that has been the best, like, positive surprise this year. For you guys, maybe the Colts for you, Henry, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Colts surprises.
Ryan, what would you say?
I'd have to say the Patriots, honestly.
That's where we're getting to. Yeah. I'm a Patriots fan. You have to rank the Patriots up as one of the best positive surprises this season. I don't think this is that unexpected for me, but I'm, like, pretty delusional. So that's honestly, like, it doesn't really mean much for me to say that I expect them to be 4-2 and having beat the Bills. Now, that's really the only remotely good team that they've beaten. And they're not going to see any competition for several weeks at this point. Vakiona has them rated 16 on this list. Ryan, you feel like that's too low?
That's absolutely too low. I mean, they do have the easiest strength of schedule remaining in the season. But I think the key piece in this is Drake May, who has been balling after a bit of a rocky rookie season. He's ranked sixth out of 56 quarterbacks on PFF with an 83.9 grade. He has 1,500 passing yards already through 6 weeks, 10 passing touchdowns. I mean, again, a new coach. So it's in Mike Vrabel, who's absolutely helping him a lot. He's got an improved team around him. And I think it's definitely coming together for the Patriots. And if they can keep it up and they can beat the teams they're supposed to beat, I think they could be well on their way to winning the division, maybe.
They're 16 right now in these rankings. Henry, is there any team that you would put them above?
I'd put them above the Chargers right now. I know I just was saying they'd be higher, but the Falcons, Seahawks, Jags, and Broncos, I think all have the upper edge when it comes to coaching, because you were talking about that earlier.
You think all of them are better? Vrabel's been exceptional.
But it takes a while for, like, the coaching playbooks to implement. Like, the play style really needs to set in.
Okay.
When it kind of feels like they reinvented it or tweaked some stuff just a little more for it to fit Drake May.
Definitely.
But the other teams are clicking. Like, Michael Penix is really clicking. Yeah. And Bo Nix is really starting to click. So it's just
Even Lawrence.
Vrabel is like catching up to that. But they'll be there. It'll take this season. And it's already starting to show. Like, they beat the Bills.
Okay. You think they make the playoffs?
I do. I think the wild card, because I think the Bills will win more games, even though the Pats have an easier schedule. But, like, the Pats still have to play the Bucks in a few weeks. So, losses are still on the table.
It's funny. It's a humbling to hear, like, a normal person's perspective, because I'm so deep into Patriots Twitter that, like, there's Drake May Lover is my entire Twitter. I don't know if you guys have
same
heard
on
of this
Instagram.
Guy.
I'm familiar.
He's everywhere. Yeah. He just posts PNGs of Drake May. And it fuels my day. It's like coffee in the morning. I literally haven't heard a bad thing about the Patriots since their week one loss. And it's conditioned me to think that they're like actually a contending team, which I don't really think. But I actually do. I genuinely think, and I obviously can't eliminate my bias, but I genuinely think they're better than Jacksonville. I think they're better than Indianapolis. I know, obviously, I'm late to the chase on both of those teams who have had probably the best like surprise seasons in addition to New England. And I like their odds against all these other teams. I like their odds against Pittsburgh. I like their odds against Denver. I don't feel bad about them against the Chargers, per se. Let's move on towards the bottom half of the standings, where you get some of the negative surprises, because there have been a few teams, I think one in particular for me, that have really disappointed this year. To talk about the New York teams, the Giants are now ranked 25th, moving up 6 spots from 31 in Bocciano's rankings after the win last week. The Jets are, well, they're not moving down in the rankings. You could say that. They're last.
The only place to go is up when you hit rock bottom.
And I don't know if they will be moving up. I'm going to be honest. They play the Panthers this week. I'm going to be there with Brendan reporting. And I wouldn't usually admit this on air, but it's more of like me and Brendan, look, I think we do a great job, but I'm really just there to like hang out with my friend. Like,
yeah.
I'm not really there to watch good football.
Not when Justin Fields.
I'm just clocking and enjoying the atmosphere. And yeah, it was weird when to talk about the Jets for a little bit. We went to that Cowboys game that they hosted, and it was an ugly, ugly loss. It was a really close game in the first half, and then Breece Hall fumbled, and then the game just fell apart on them. And all of a sudden, it was 23-3 at the half. I didn't feel that Fields played badly in that game, but I think last week told a very different story. I want to ask this. Sala last year was fired around this time. I think it was last week at this time last year that Sala was fired. Aaron Glenn was brought in. I could never be like convinced to really care much about the Jets, but I did believe, I drank the Kool-Aid that he was like going to be good and really revive the culture. And I was a believer in this Jets team, not to be a playoff team, but to be like a 6-7. I'm not meaning to do that. A 6-7 win. I say, all right. Okay. But a 6-7 win team. I genuinely thought that they could do that realistically. Like probably they'd be in the 5 range, but that they would be a competitive enough team, a team that could spoil some teams' playoff runs, a team that could give you a good game, a team that could battle with any of the teams in the division except for maybe Buffalo. They've not been that. Things are getting worse and worse by the week. The team gave up 9 sacks last week, and obviously the O-line has been a struggle, but I think even Justin Fields is just holding the ball way too long. It's hard to assign blame. I don't think that a head coach has been fired mid-season since, mid-season in his first season since Urban Meyer, I think. Is it getting to the point where Glenn is like close to going?
I mean, yeah, I think you just kind of need a scapegoat at this point. I mean, like you said, Justin Fields, he holds the ball way too long. In week 6. His pocket time was 2.9 seconds. That was the highest of any quarterback so far, or in
that's
week 6,
so
rather.
Long.
Yeah. And he was only blitzed 6 times.
Oh, my gosh.
So three of those, three of those times that he was sacked came on non-blitzes. But I feel like you can't trade him. No one wants him. But you also paid him $40 million. So Fields has looked good in certain games in garbage time, so you can't entirely place the blame on him. But if you want a scapegoat, it's got to be Aaron Glenn, because he certainly hasn't helped.
It feels like the Jets don't care. And that pivotal moment in that game for me when I realized that either Justin Fields doesn't care and is collecting a paycheck, or the coach needs to be fired, is halftime when they had the ball right around the 50, could have spiked it, get another playoff, and they let around 40 seconds run off the clock. And nobody on the field knew what was going on. And it's just like standing there on the sideline just looking.
That was a ridiculous play.
It looks Garrett Wilson was mad, rightfully mad about what was going on. And that's all whoever's the owner of the team or the GM of the team has to make the executive decision to show fans that they still care. Because they don't have to care. But at some point, if you're the people on the field that are on TV don't care, that's a problem for the entertainment business.
Hmm. So I feel like obviously there's going to be an audience for NFL games regardless, but it gets to a point where, like, how many people are tuning into Jets Panthers this week when there's other games to watch? The Panthers have been kind of fun this year. They're still very bad, but Dowdle's had a great season. Young has continued to show some flashes. I think their defense has been better than expected. They're still not a very good team. The Jets are even worse. Let's flip over to the other side of New York. Talk Giants. This team's in a really weird spot. I think fans overall are pretty happy. However, you don't have Malik Nabers to watch. It feels like the season is effectively a wash in the sense of, not that I think anyone thought they were going to contend for the playoffs to begin with, but now it's like, okay, yeah, we're obviously not going to contend. There's not really much. Like, we can't watch Dart form chemistry with Nabers, because the game that Dart elevates into a starting role, Nabers tears his ACL. But I think the fans love this Dart-Scadaboo pairing. What are you guys looking for out of the Giants at this point? They're ranked 25 on Vakiano's rankings. I believe they're 2-4 right now. Don't really expect them to contend in what's still a really good NFC East. What are you guys hoping that the Giants will show over the course of the rest of this season so that they can build on that next year and maybe actually contend for the playoffs?
I think that as long as Dart and Scadaboo keep this connection going, they're going to be having fun. And the rest of the season for the Giants is to have fun. They don't have Nabers, their key long down the field target anymore, and their defense is okay. They're not in contention, but as long as they have the support behind them and it looks like they have like that grit and determination to go and win games, I've been saying this for a while now, watching Scadaboo and Dart, they will be a next year in contention team. It'll be dirty to see Dart throw to Nabers, especially when they build up that chemistry on the offseason, and just watch Scadaboo run through everybody with his head. It's amazing. He's got 3 years in the league max, but it's amazing to watch.
Did you guys see the leaked essay by Cam Scadaboo?
I copy pasted off Wikipedia.
It's fake. I swear this literally has to be
it
fake.
It had to be a Wikipedia article too. Just copy and paste.
But it was unreal. Unreal. I would love to see one day. James Cook.
Feral Hogs.
That's a classic. I think Scadaboo's would have to be worse, but you never know. You never know. Ryan, what are you looking for from this Giants team rest of the way?
I mean, yeah, like I'm just looking for them to have fun. I think very few people really looked into this season expecting big things out of the Giants, and if you did, I'm sorry for you. But I think I just want to see continued development from Jackson Dart. He's looked really good as a quarterback. I think he's a great runner as well, so I think there's definitely some potential there. Cam Scadaboo, I mean, he just keeps getting better. It's looking back with what we see out of him in these past few games. This guy was a fourth-round pick, but everyone knew his name after the college football playoff last year. He should have gone higher in the draft, I think. But trade-wise, we know Malik Nabers is out, and there's been rumors that they're going to go after a receiver. I know there's pretty much rumors around
Jalen Waddle.
Jalen Waddle.
That makes no sense to me.
I know Packers receivers too. I know there's been stuff around Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks, Jacoby Myers, Rashid Saheed. Pretty much any trade-worthy wide receiver that you could give up a fourth or third round pick for has probably come across Joe Schoen's desk. So they're looking at all possible avenues to just try and find something to make this season keep going.
But why? Like, I don't get that. But it's such a waste of draft capital to do that in a season like this. But as stupid as it sounds, I think actually the goal for the Giants this year should be to have fun. The players or the fans have not had a team that they can enjoy rooting for since the miracle playoff season. It's been not just like letdowns at the end of the season. It's been season-long sustained failure year over year. And this is finally a sign, with Dart and Scataboo getting the reps that they are, that maybe there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and maybe they actually hit on a quarterback and they don't have to do this, bring in Russell Wilson after Daniel Jones leaves, bring in Jameis Winston for vibes, which I'm cool with, actually. But, and I was actually, to walk myself back a little bit, I'll admit that when they benched Wilson, I was like, that's pretty soon to do that. Like, that's pretty drastic. And to say that Dart is going to be the starter for the rest of the season, like, what if he's just horrible? He is not. Obviously, Brian Daboll knows more than me about where his quarterbacks are trending. This Giants fan base has not had something, a product that's really fun to root for. The fact, I think if you had told any Giants fan that they'd be able to have fun watching their team and enjoy it without being able to watch their best player.
They'd ask if OBJ was coming back.
Yeah. At this point, why not? Anything to make this season even more enjoyable as this team continues to work things out. The thing that I want to see from the Giants the rest of the season from like a more critical standpoint would be, I believe their defense is ranked 27th overall in yardage allowed. Let me see where they rank individually. Their rush defense has been really rough. Their pass defense hasn't been exceptional either. Scoring-wise, their defense is towards the bottom of the league as well. It's not so much that I'm looking for individuals at this point, but it's obviously some guys like Carter I want to see be on the edge more. I want to see what he can do there. But I'm looking for, can this team, in a way that it hasn't in the last 3 years, find an actual defensive identity and gel as a unit? Because there's always been talent on these Giants teams defensively. It's a young group. There's players that excel at every single position group on that team, but has never come together. I'm not expecting them to develop into a top 10 offense this year, but if they can start to put together games down the stretch where they're holding teams under 20 points more consistently and just give you a clearer picture of what position groups need work and what ones we know are set, that's what I want them to be able to take into this next year. Ryan, you're a Bears fan. I don't think I've watched a single Bears game this year. Right. We'll talk a little bit more about some of these teams that are ranked in the bottom half. Give us the rundown on what the outlook is right now for Chicago.
Well, sorry. So the next four games for Chicago, we've got the Saints, then we've got the Ravens, likely with Lamar back. Then we've got the Giants, and then we've got the Bengals. So those are all very winnable games for the yep. Chicago team, especially after what we saw Monday, a very gritty win. I don't think Matt Eberflus, I don't think he wins that game. This is a whole different culture. So I think that definitely Caleb Williams, he looks a lot better. He had some pretty good plays on Monday, but for me at least, he plays off instinct still, and I think there's still some things he needs to clean up. I think the offensive line looked great. I know last year they allowed 60 sacks. Not fun, but they've looked much, much better this year, which is a huge part of Ben Johnson's run game. So I think if they can get that going and they can establish what Ben Johnson wants in his offense, I think the Bears could maybe sneak into the playoffs or at least have a winning record, which I'd be very, very happy with. Mm.
Especially in that division. NFC North is tough. The Vikings are ranked a little bit below them in Vaciano's rankings, but they're also 3-2. They're working some things out, but that's a team with plenty of talent. And then the two teams above them, the Packers and the Lions, are among the league's best. Let's look at this Week 7 slate briefly to wrap up. There's a lot of matchups that are like patently bad. Saints Bears is not terribly exciting. The Saints have like been weirdly competitive in some of their games, but I don't want to watch them. Dolphins Browns is, that's like, it, that is malpractice to make anyone watch that game. Same situation for Panthers Jets. I didn't realize the Panthers are 3-3. I thought they were 2-4. They have 3 wins. That's kind of crazy. Raiders Chiefs, the Raiders recent years have given the Chiefs some fight, but I'm not very interested in that game. Patriots Titans, after the Titans fire their head coach, I expect the Patriots to take care of business there. Giants Broncos can be fun, but I'm not, probably not tuning in over a couple of these other games.
It'll be fun to watch Scataboo.
It won't be fun against this Broncos defense as he continues his speed run towards career ending brain injury. Couple other games that are intriguing, like Commanders, Cowboys, Packers, Cardinals. I want to spotlight a few games, though. We'll start with the 1 o'clock slate. We have Rams at Jaguars. We've said some good things about the Jaguars today. Do we think they pull it out at home?
First of all, is it a London game?
Yeah, it's 9:30. It's in
London. Oh, it's a London game. Yeah. You're right. That's classic Jaguars.
Classic Jaguars.
They're always in London.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see a Travis Hunter breakout
yep.
game. That's about it for the Jags. Other than that, Trevor Lawrence looks the best he has
definitely
so far, especially it correlates to the team's record. Them playing the Rams overseas, they are giving up their home field advantage, I think, which could play a little bit of a factor in the outcome of this game. But honestly, I might wake up for it. Like, it would be exciting to see. It'll be a good game. It's one of these games. It's not like a Chiefs-Ravens or a Bills-Packers, but it's still it's Jaguars-Rams. You don't hear that often, and mm-hmm. it's one of those scrappy games that'll be, oh, yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat for this.
Yeah.
Come on. Give me those fantasy points, too.
It's a couple of teams that have played a lot in London, so it kind of feels like a tradition to be able to wake up early and watch this game. Ryan, who do you have?
Between the Rams and Jaguars, I feel like I got to go with the Jags. I got to go with Duval.
Duval.
I mean, yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence looks great. I think Travis Etienne has been an underrated part of the offense. And it's also in London. The Jags play a lot of games in London. So even though you said it's not a home game, it kind of is for the Jags. So I like them over the Rams this week.
Okay. I have to go LA. I'm a big Stafford guy. I like this Rams team. I think along with a team like the Packers, this is a team that for the past several years has been consistently impressive, but also maybe has not gotten the recognition it deserves. I would love to see Stafford get at least a chance to play in the Super Bowl. Obviously, we're talking about week 7 here against the Jaguars. But I'm rooting for this Rams team. I'd like to see them win. But I also do like the Jaguars. I like Liam Cohen a lot. How could you not? As you said, T-Law has been as best as he's been as an NFL player. Etienne was a guy who came into the season with maybe this being him on the hot seat. Like, this is his last year to prove himself as a real star back, and he's proven that so far. I lean towards LA. We'll move towards, I believe, the 1 o'clock slate here. I have the times cut out. Eagles-Vikings. The reason why this is interesting to me, I'm not following the Vikings very closely this year, but the Eagles, to me, are playing in maybe the most crucial game of their season since that stretch they had 2 years ago, the year they didn't win the Super Bowl, where they just collapsed at the end of the season. It feels like the start of that again. I get the exact same feeling. It feels like they need to win this game to buck that trend, but I don't feel very confident that they do.
I don't either, and their two losses are very surprising losses. It's to Denver and to the Giants last week, and you don't like to see that out of the defending Super Bowl champions. So it is starting. I think it is starting to collapse. I think it's a coaching problem, again, as it comes down to. And when you have coaching problems, you get locker room problems. So there's definitely no winning attitude, I think, going into the Vikings, who are very consistent.
I mean, yeah, I think you got to look at the other side of this. Look at the Vikings, too, especially at the quarterback position. J.J. McCarthy been out the past few weeks. He was limited in practice today and yesterday, but Wentz was full. And I'd like to see a Carson Wentz revenge game against the Eagles. I would love that. But if McCarthy is healthy and if they do decide to start him, I don't think the Vikings win this one, honestly. I don't see him going out there and balling out against what's been a pretty good Eagles defense when healthy, at least.
Yeah, okay. It could be a pretty slow game. These two teams are probably slowing down a little bit mid-season.
Yep.
So it might not be as exciting as the 9:30 a.m. game.
But still a really important game for each of these two teams as far as a midseason matchup goes. It feels like they both really need a win here. Teams that really don't need wins and have been on that side of the coin of positive surprises, Colts and to a lesser degree the Chargers. I think I expected the Chargers to be pretty good, and they've been pretty good. Chargers are hosting this game. I've been low-key hating on the Colts all episode long, which I apologize for. I had nothing bad to say about the Colts, but I literally have had nothing but bad things to say about the Colts. I'm not anti-Colt, but am I crazy for just thinking Justin Herbert's going to win this game? I believe in the better quarterback.
I don't think you're crazy for an any given day attitude for any kind of sport. However, the Colts are the number one team in football, as I've said earlier in this episode, and the Chargers are still trying to find their way, as I've also said in this episode. it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be a football game. But I think Daniel Jones has confidence now. So if he's down by the third quarter or by halftime, he knows how to get himself up and get his team up and get, like, let's go. Let's come back and beat this team. It's our game to win. Sorry, it's the Colts' game to lose to the Chargers. So they're going to go out there and they're going to give them what they got.
Okay.
Let's go.
Where do you land on this, Ryan?
I got to land, I think, on the side of the Colts. I feel like Indiana Jones, all right? I think the Chargers' defense has definitely struggled. So, you know, like you said, it's the Colts' game to lose. It's Jones' game to lose, really. Jonathan Taylor has been doing great this season. And the Chargers' run defense has struggled. They allow 124.2 yards per game on the ground. It's 21st in the league near the bottom. So, I mean, I definitely – and the Colts do have a very talented defense as well. So I like the Colts, really.
It's so rational. Like, it's making me want to change my mind, but I'm too stubborn to do that. I think it's a close game. I think this is another game that comes down to the wire and that, similar to last night, has a really exciting finish. I want to see the ball in Justin Herbert's hands in that situation. I'd actually be curious to see the ball in Daniel Jones' hands in that situation. Has he commanded a game-winning drive this season? I don't remember. But that's the kind of situation that separates a quarterback from a guy who's having a surprisingly good year to a guy who's genuinely that good now that he has the kind of weapons he has. Interesting proving point at this time in the season for both of these teams in different ways. One more game that I want to zoom in on before we wrap up. Monday Night Football. There's two games because of woke. But the first one, Bucks at Lions. A Lions team coming off of a somewhat unexpected loss to the Chiefs. The Lions had been maybe the consensus number one team so far, but they come off this loss, and now maybe the new number one consensus team in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers comes to town. I think this game could be a total shootout, even with the Bucks still being somewhat shorthanded. I'm really excited for it, and I can't even think of... I have to pull for the Bucks here, even though I really like the Lions. Historically, I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I like Jared Goff. But the Bucks are so fun this year, and especially in late-game situations. They've found ways to win against teams that are good teams. It's what they did last week against San Fran. I think they have a chance to do it again on Monday.
Yeah, and all credit to Baker Mayfield for those wins. He is just a unit out there. It's amazing to watch him run around with the football. Real has Detroit by 6 right now, which is honestly really surprising to me.
That's a big spread.
Because Detroit's coming off their loss to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what LA is thinking.
Maybe just like a vibes, like Detroit needs to get back here. Like, I can't envision Detroit being 4-3.
It could be almost anything that they would have Detroit favored over the Bucks. But I would put my... I'm not condoning gambling.
No,
but
we'd never do that.
I am thinking that the Bucks will come away with this one in a shootout. It'll be an air raid game for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to agree with you. I like the Bucks in this one. I think both of these defenses are pretty beat up. They're both pretty hurt. But I think crucially for the Bucks, Mike Evans might be coming back this week. He was limited in practice Thursday. Although they're without Ibuka, who has been their top guy this season, that receiver. But the Lions, beat up defense, no Terry Arnold, no Kirby Joseph. I think it's going to be a shootout. I would, you know, again, not condoning betting, I would take the over on whatever that is. But I think the Bucks get it done, and with their run game too, with Rashad White.
Shout out Rashad White, man. Mm-hmm. Bucks and Lions putting the nightcap on what should be a really fun Week 7. The season, if you can believe it, nearly midway done. Pleasure as always, guys. As always, I've never been on a podcast with you guys. A pleasure as always. As we wrap up, for our producer in the back, Ethan Wax, my co-host, Henry Wolf, Ryan Ariema, I'm Joe Henry, signing off. NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.